Hallelujah, Christ is risen. In the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Shepherd.
I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us sing a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us sing a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God,
and a great King above all gods.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God,
and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday in Easter is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God for having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The second reading is from St. Peter's first letter, the second chapter. This is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who speaks, who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Our texts today are from John chapter 10 and Acts chapter 2. From John 10, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And from Acts 2, speaking of the Christians in the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, that is, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is our text. When it comes to Christianity, one of the things that has long been noted is the surprise with which how successful the Christian church was and is. If you think about the founder of a religious movement being crucified, you would think that that would be the end of it. And yet what we see when we look both in Acts and in John is a thriving and vibrant church. I'm reminded of the words of the Pharisee Gamaliel from Acts chapter 5. You might remember the event. The apostles had just been arrested for preaching about Jesus, and the Jewish ruling council is deciding what to do with them. And the Pharisee Gamaliel makes an interesting observation. He speaks about a number of other religious movements that had begun, and then it sort of fizzled out. And speaking about the Christians, he said, "In the case of these followers of Jesus, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan, if this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, and you might even be found opposing God." The wisdom of Gamaliel looked at the situation and said, "Look, if this is simply a human creation, it's going to die out and fizzle, like all those other religious movements that have come and gone. But if this is of God, you just try and stop it. It won't work." We often see that. Movements and ideas, they may blaze brilliantly for a moment, and then they fade into the pages of history. They fade into the pages of history if they're even remembered at all. I think that ought to be a reminder for us in the things that we get worked up about in our own time, our own day. We get worked up about things that look like something today, but they will be forgotten tomorrow. And that's 99% of what goes on around us. Now, I don't think that Gamaliel actually expected the Christian church to thrive. I think that he said that expecting that, like all of those other groups, it would be a bright, brilliant star and then depart. He thought it would turn to dust like the other movements. He believed that it was an undertaking of man and not of God. So the council took his advice and they decided to bring the apostles in. They beat them and they charged them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And then they let them go. And I think they assumed that would be the end of it. Well, we today are living proof to say that that was not the end of the Christian church. And it was not the end of the apostles preaching and teaching. And it was not the end of the shepherd or of his sheep. I do wonder what Gamaliel would say if he were to see the Christian church today. Size and growth aren't, of course, the only evidence that something is of God. There are things that are not of God that do grow, that do become large in size. There's Islam, which is big, or the Mormon movement, which is growing. That doesn't mean that they're of God, but it is remarkable that the growth and endurance of the Christian church happened in the book of Acts and afterwards and continues. It is remarkable. Christianity grew And it grew not because it had the support or the encouragement of the ruling authorities or the intelligentsia or the academic world or the business class. It grew despite persecution and suffering. In fact, when the council sent the apostles away, having been beaten, it doesn't say that the apostles hung their heads and said, "Guys, we probably got to shut up about this Jesus stuff." No, it says they rejoiced. They rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. For which name? For the name that is above every name. For the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the shepherd and the door of the sheep. If you haven't read the book of Acts and you're wondering perhaps what book of the Bible you ought to read next or where to go in your devotional life, I would encourage you to read the book of Acts and see there the birth and the growth of the church. And again, I said at the beginning that it's remarkable the way the church survives and grows. And we might ask what accounts for that growth and that survival. And Gamaliel, I believe, put his finger on it when he said that if it is of men, it will fail, but if it is of God, you will not be able to stop it. The Christian church, its growth, its existence, its endurance, has everything to do with the founder of the church. I would say that you can draw a line from us gathered here today, or from Acts chapter 5, or from Acts chapter 2, and you can draw it right back to Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, for you and for me. Martin Luther once made a sort of wry quip when he was asked what the church is, and he said that even a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, the good shepherd and the sheep who hear his voice. The good shepherd and the sheep who hear his voice. The reason why the Pharisees were not successful in stamping out Christianity is that they can't stamp out the voice of a shepherd who already has died and is risen again. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
They could not silence Jesus, and so they could not stop the church of Jesus from growing. And as I said, I believe and view that our life here together, Christians today, 21st century United States and around the world, is a direct result of the resurrection of Jesus, our shepherd, from the dead. The risen Jesus leads, the risen shepherd Jesus leads to a living church. The risen shepherd leads to a living church. And I said it before service when we gathered. We are not gathered here to do our own thing. We're not gathered here to come up with our own ideas or our own thoughts. And we're not gathered here because we want to remember Jesus, this great guy who lived and died and rose again and is off somewhere doing something we don't know where. We are gathered here because we believe and are convinced that this risen shepherd Jesus is not gone or absent or far away, but he is alive and present. When you hear the readings, what do we say? This is the word of the Lord. The shepherd is speaking. When we come to Holy Communion, what are we coming to but to the body and blood of Jesus Christ, just as he says, "This is my body and this is my blood," not the body and blood of one who is dead, but the body and blood of a shepherd who died and is arisen and alive forevermore. We gather because Jesus is present here. Jesus speaks about himself as the shepherd of the sheep. He says, "The one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is the thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." to him the gatekeeper opens. And notice all of the things that Jesus says about what the shepherd does. So beautiful. The shepherd is the one who comes in by the door. He uses the proper means of access to get to his sheep and to take care of them. He says that he calls his own sheep by name. He knows them personally and individually. There's nothing about their lives or their needs that escapes his attention. And when we say he calls his own sheep by name, we believe that there's a deep and abiding connection to the gift of holy baptism. Where was it that you were named by your shepherd? But in those waters, when your name was used, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the good shepherd there made you one of his sheep. One of the sheep who is known, who is loved by the shepherd. Jesus says that the shepherd has a job in the lives of the sheep still, that he is the one who leads them out and who brings them in. We say in the baptismal liturgy, from this time forth and even forevermore. It's worth asking yourself today, what kind of leading do you need? Where are the places in your life where you need the shepherd to speak into your life, to give you guidance and direction, support and help, to show you which way to go, in and out? As you come forward for communion or come forward to receive a blessing, I encourage you to bring those things to our Lord, even name them in your own hearts before him, and say, Lord, here is the way I need you, shepherd, to lead me. Here are the questions that I have and the uncertainties in my life. Jesus also says that the shepherd is the one who goes before the sheep, and they follow him. Not only does he give direction, but he actually leads us on the path. What is the job of the sheep? It is not to know where they are going. It's not even to find their way to where they are going. The job of the sheep is simply to listen and to follow. Jesus has already led the way. He's led the way through some of the scariest and most challenging things that one can ever encounter in this world. He is the shepherd who has gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and he has come out the other side. Which means that he is able to lead us not only in life, but he is able to lead us as well through death and into the life of the world to come. And Jesus says, the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They listen to him. They attend to what he says. What do we mean by that? The voice of the shepherd. We don't mean by this primarily that we listen to some voice inside of our hearts or inside of our feelings, or some word that comes to us from society or culture or some message in some other way. There is one place where we definitively and authoritatively hear the voice of the shepherd. And that is in Holy Scripture. That is where we hear the authentic and authoritative voice of our shepherd. If we are not listening to that, then we are not listening to him, no matter what we may think or feel. And that is why the Scriptures form such a central part of our life together as Christians. Why we gather around them being read and around the Scriptures being preached, and we don't have a service without the Word of God. And as Christians, we really should not have a single day without the Word of God. Let it be the first thing we hear in the morning and the last thing we hear at night, so that the voice of the shepherd is constantly in our ears. Jesus says not only that he is the shepherd, but he also says that he is the door. It's one of the most interesting images that Jesus uses of himself. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. One of these doesn't feel like it fits with the others. What would be the most impressive thing I could say that I am? What does he mean that he is the door? He is the means of access for the sheep. It is through him that we come into the fold, and it is through him that we are brought out to the green and good pastures. But I think even more, there's this beautiful image from ancient shepherding, especially in ancient Israel, where they would have an walled enclosure out in the hills for the shepherds or the sheep to find safety in overnight. And with this walled enclosure, they had one doorway, one way in or out. And the shepherd at night would lay himself in front of that doorway so that nothing could get in, nothing could get out, nothing could approach the sheep without going through him. What are the things that are trying to get at you? What are the things gnawing at your mind or at your heart? Maybe there's some sin, some temptation. Maybe there's fear about the devil and the power that he still exercises in this world. Maybe there's despair that's been crouching there. Tell those things that they cannot come to you without going through the door, without passing through Christ. And send them to him. Send them to the one who died and rose again. Send them to the one who paid for your sins. Send them to the one who defeated the devil. Send them to the one who is alive forevermore. We may also think of our own lives. What are the things or the people that we are tempted to deal with in our own lives without going through Christ? What are the things that we might engage in, or the relationships or people that we might interact with, that rather than seeking that through Christ, we wish to go in some other direction without using the door? A sheep trying to escape over the wall than by the means of access. Let us in our own lives, as we go in and out, as we engage with our work and our homes and our families and our relationships, let us do so through Christ, by praying for them, but also by remembering that every single person we interact with is a soul for whom Christ shed his blood. And let us see them in that way. In contrast to the shepherd, there is the thief. I don't want to dwell much on the thief today, but do note that Jesus warns us that there are those who wish to get at the sheep in some other way, and they have no purpose except to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus was probably thinking especially about the Jewish leaders. He had just healed the man born blind, and that man, for following Jesus, was kicked out of the synagogue. They said that that man could not have life through Jesus, but there is life found nowhere else. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." "I came" means that he came from heaven, from the right hand of the Father, true God who took on our human flesh. He came to the cross and he came to the grave, and he did all of that so that we might have life now and forever. Life abundantly and full in and through him. And that's why we are here today, to have that life renewed by our good shepherd, to hear the voice of our risen shepherd in his holy word and in his precious sacraments, to be the sheep that he intended us to be. Here we are gathered as the living church around the risen Christ, who is both our door and our shepherd. And this is exactly what the church looked like in the earliest days. In Acts chapter 2, our first reading today, we hear about the church immediately following the day of Pentecost. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. This is what we are to do as well. To be devoted to the shepherd whose voice gives life. To be devoted to the one who offers himself to us in his holy body and holy blood. To be gathered together and encourage one another through the fellowship of the church. And to bring our needs, our requests, and our thanksgivings through the shepherd to the very throne of God himself. Let us be devoted to the voice of the shepherd, to the gifts of the shepherd, to the life that the shepherd gives. And when I say devoted, I think we ought to consider the things in our lives that we may be most devoted to. There are many things to which we hold devotion. There are sports teams, there are TV shows and movies, there are relationships and friendships. You can be devoted to shopping, and you can be devoted to work, and you can be devoted to vacations. But the first Christians were devoted to Christ and to his voice. And so we are as well. We are gathered here to be those sheep, devoted to hearing him and following him and letting our lives be shaped and formed and guided by his word, to continue steadfast now and forever in him. And we are gathered together as well so that we can encourage one another in this. You heard that in the early church. It was not just an individual sheep here or an individual sheep there. To be a lone sheep is a dangerous place for a Christian. To be a lone sheep means that we are easily picked off, easily separated from our shepherd. We are meant to live together as a flock. And so I encourage you today, as you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, also to look around you at your brothers and sisters in Christ and seek how you can encourage them, support them, direct them to also hear and be devoted to the voice of the shepherd. For a risen shepherd leads to a living church. And we pray that we would be that living church with the life that Jesus himself has and gives for us now and forever. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray to God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Loving Father, your Son is the great shepherd of the sheep. He faithfully gathers his flock to himself in the fold of the church. Grant us steadfast faith to hear his voice now and each day and follow him, that we may receive our portion in the abundant life. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, bestow the gift of Christ's wisdom and compassion upon all who are called to shepherd the souls of your people. Teach believers everywhere to receive their pastors as a gift from you and so to follow Christ, the Good Shepherd. Bless also all church musicians, especially our organists, Anne and Mary, as they help us to sing your praises. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. O God, bless our seminaries in Fort Wayne and St. Louis, that those preparing to serve the church might carry out Christ's ministry in the places where you send them. Hear our prayers for all who will be receiving divine calls, vicarages, and internship assignments. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, so send more workers. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, hear our prayers for all Christian homes. Preserve all married couples in love and faithfulness. Protect in mercy all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kitty, Kelsey, Jordan, and Carrie. Strengthen all parents for their task as teachers of the faith. Uphold the unmarried in honor and without shame, and grant them godly friendships. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Shepherd, you hold in your hands all the power of men, and you hold accountable those who govern. Grant us good government and leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, serve the cause of justice, and defend our liberty. Lord, in your mercy. Author of life, you gather us together in the fellowship of Christ and his word, and invite us to intercede for one another in every need. Hear our prayers, especially for Ralph in his rehabilitation, John as he returns home from hospital, Jonathan in critical care, Amara in her recovery, Christopher struggling with his treatments, Victor and Sandra as he is in hospice, as well as Diane, Tom, Mike, Marilyn, Julian, Melinda, Evelyn, and Jared. Work by your mercy for their good now and eternally, and add to our number those who are being saved until you bring us to rest forever in your safe keeping. Lord, in your mercy. Father of glory, you have promised to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies and to fill our cup of salvation to overflowing. Bless all who receive the sacrament at this altar today, that even amid sin, death, and the devil, your goodness and mercy may follow us all the days of our lives, and we may dwell in your house forever. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son purchased us with his own most holy blood, and he now leads us through the gate of death to our eternal home with you. As his sheep, inspire us to hear his voice gladly and to follow him through every tribulation. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy.
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 28, a psalm of prayer. O save your people and bless your heritage. Be the shepherd and carry it forward. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward the most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. I am helped. My heart exalts. And with the song, I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people and his savings, refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be a shepherd and carry them forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be the shepherd and care for them forever.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may also receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.